All right, let's take a moment and just ask God's blessing on what we will be looking at today. And as I like to throw out to the students, pray with me that God will speak to you, because I feel that He has something for each and every one of us in this room. And it's not because I'm the one that's saying it. It's because He has something for you. So just ask God to fill your heart, to open your ears, and to speak His word, His truth into your heart with me. God, I just come before you, and it has been so good to sing praises to your name, just to reflect on how good you have been to us. God, to be able to lift up your name and praise you. And God, as we open up your word, as we look at what you have laid out for us this morning, it is my desire that you would speak to our hearts, speak to my heart. God, speak to the hearts of those who are here, that they might hear from you and just glorify you and all that they say and do as they leave and throughout the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I would like to welcome you into the student room. You know, the student room over there, they've got all these tables set up, and that's why we're here. I know you think that I'm in your environment because Sam's gone, but that's not the case. We needed somewhere to meet with the students, and this was the only room that was... No, that's not true either. Let's see, you shouldn't start out this talk with a lie, should I? No, but let me catch you up, because we are going to kind of take off of where the students have been and what we've been looking at. And we've been going through the Advent wreath and looking at each of the candles and what those candles were for, what they meant, kind of what they bring to the table, so to speak. And that's how come I've entitled this one The Sixth Candle. And if you look over there, you'll see there is no wreath. Nobody came up and did a reading, and they didn't light a candle, and that might be because the Advent wreath doesn't have a sixth candle yet. Okay, maybe next year. Maybe next year that sixth candle will show up. But let's look at this, and we're going to go take your Bible, if you would, and open up to Matthew. If you have it on your device, go ahead and flip that device open. Just make sure you're really in your Bible app. Don't go to Instagram or wherever that game of solitaire or wherever might be led astray. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. And just for those who don't usually open their program, you'll find that there are some notes in there if you want to follow along. The students love to try to fill those blanks in before I get to them. So feel free to try to do that too. Do it in pencil, because you probably think different than I do. But anyhow, let's look at this. We are Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So, interesting. You probably have already picked out what it is. What's that next light? He says, "Let your light so shine before men." And then if you jump all the way to the end, you'll see the reason why: so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So as I'm thinking through this, I'm thinking, you know, one of the things, and I'm glad that we have the young people in here as well, and I'd like to include you in this too. And in the student room, we're very interactive, but I'm going to kind of keep that down. But I would normally just throw that out there. What does it mean to glorify something? It's something, a word that we probably all are pretty familiar with, and yet to have actually defined it, sometimes it's one of those slippery jello type words, right? What does it mean to glorify? Well, I will draw all the way back to when I was in Bible school. And one of our professors threw that out there, like, what does it mean to glorify? And I've ever since remembered the definition that he gave to us for that, and that was simply to put on display, to put a spotlight on it, to show it off. So what are we showing off? What are we to show off? Let your light so shine that we could glorify our Father in heaven, right? So that those who see us will then also put a spotlight on God. So glorifying things is not a hard concept to understand, right? Coming through Christmas, I would have to say that probably everybody in the room, if not everybody, probably 99.9%, received a gift that if I said, what was your best gift that you received this year for Christmas, you could come up here and you could glorify that gift. You could display, you know, this is the best gift I've got, and this is why it means so much to me. That would be glorifying that gift. And every one of us in here glorifies something every day. Guys, we might glorify that new tool for our woodworking shop. You know, you get a tool, and I know, Michael, you like tools. I like tools. Is there a guy in the room that... sorry, that's all. Those students, you don't know who that was, but that was a tool man. Okay? I'm guilty of it. If I get a new tool, it's like, hey, dude, check out this new tool. And hopefully somebody else comes along and goes, wow, that's great. That's the tool I wanted. Maybe it's a new boat. Maybe it's a new gun, right? You get these things and it's automatic that, hey, let's just let everybody know what it is I got. Ladies, no exception. They might be, and I'm not one of those, so correct me if I'm wrong, a new outfit, right? You get that new outfit, it's like, wow, look at this. And you're out there, and everybody's like, whoa, look at that outfit. That looks great on you. And don't ask your husband, though. Please don't ask your husband, do I look good in this? Like, there's the mannequin man. Y'all familiar with that? If your wife asks you if she looks good in something, go. Okay, because no matter what you do, you're wrong. It's going to be interpreted wrong. Okay, so it might be that outfit. It might be, anybody ever seen a woman after she gets an engagement ring? Now, there's something to glorify, right? Nobody ever goes, I got an engagement ring, but I don't want you to see it. Right? No, you put it on display. You put a spotlight on it, like, boom. Kids, no exception. Anybody get a new game system for Christmas? Put your hand down. You never get a new game system and go to your friend's house and go, what did you get? Oh, nothing. Oh, come on, tell me. Oh, a new game system. That's not the way it works, right? No, a puppy. Anybody get a puppy? Sorry about that if you did. No, I have a puppy too. I love the thing. But man, sometimes they're a nuisance. But anyhow, you don't get a puppy and go, get in the closet, kid. Come on. Oh, it's like you're running around going, look at my new puppy. You want to pet my puppy? Yeah, I want to touch your puppy. Can I touch your puppy? And what automatically happens if you glorify something, what do those around do? Like if I brought a puppy in here, how many would want to come up and pet my puppy? Yeah, right? You get a puppy, you bring it in, and I start glorifying it, and pretty soon you're going, oh my goodness, that's the cutest puppy in the world. Even if it's not, but... Yeah, because when you glorify something, the people around you that have, like, interest go, oh, I like that too, yeah. And then they start glorifying it also. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then that they might also glorify your Father who is in heaven. Well, let's look. That's the purpose, right? The purpose is to glorify God. What are not some purposes? Because we get caught up so often in this world with lies, right? You get those half-truths, you hear these things, or you get these voices in your head. It's like, this is why you're here. This is what you should be doing. And what we're not supposed to let our light shine is so that we can make the world a better, happier place, right? It's not like, you know what, let's go out and talk about our church, let's go out and talk about how good it feels to be able to sing and to get together and maybe have a dinner with one another. Man, we got this neat small group. What do? Well, we get together, we talk to each other, we have a meal, and then we go home. No, great, makes it a little happier maybe. Maybe people that are lonely find connection, but that's not what it's about. It's not to show people how successful or talented we are. It's like, you know what? If I am lighting up the world, people are going to see what a funny guy I am. And then it'll make them happier, and they'll go, whoa, Jim, he's great. Everybody should know that guy. No, that's not it. And in fact, when you get into a role like this, I really, as I wrestled through this talk this week, I'm thinking, you know, and I need to be careful because it's awful easy for me to go, boy, I hope I do a good job, because if I do a good job, everybody go, wow, that Jim, he can really put together a good talk. And you know what? Jim just put himself on display instead of God, and that's not what I want. So, I mean, if you enjoy this, give him the glory, because it's him who does it. Because ask anybody that knows me, ask the students, it's like, oh my goodness, that guy's a mess. And I am a mess. And it's like, even as I'm singing that last song, and it's like, with every breath you give me, I want to glorify you. It's like, boy, God, I wish that was the case, but I know that my breath doesn't always glorify you. In fact, I've got to get slapped side the head and say, Jim, come on, what are you doing over here? But my hope is that I would glorify him. So it's not to show how successful or how talented we are, and it's not even to show other people how great they are, right? It's not to come up here and go, you know what? Jackson Coger, have you seen him play soccer and basketball? Yeah, man, that guy, he's pretty good. Sorry, Jackson. I know his students don't like to be called out, but that's okay. I've heard he's pretty good. I keep telling him to give me a schedule and I'll go to one of his games, but how many? I did make it to one, didn't I? I did, one basketball game. Good. Don't ask Isaiah how many I went to his. Okay. Yeah, it's not to show people how good they are. That's not what it's about. So if it's not those, what are we supposed to do? Why are we supposed to let our light shine in the world? Number one is to show how great God is, right? Let your light shine that they might see him. And I hope that's what's happening, is you're seeing him, okay? That's what I want my life to be about. I want them to be directed to him, not to me. Unfortunately, I get in the way and there's like a solar eclipse every now and then. But yeah, it's about him. It's also that we could show how much God loves them. Okay, it's about him and how much he loves them. Because there's people running around this world. Do you know this? There's people running around this world that don't feel much love. There's a lot of people running around this world that don't feel much love. There may be, I would guess, there's probably a good handful of people in this room right now that don't feel much love. But you know who loves you more than anybody else? And this came home to me really recently with our granddaughter, who is celebrating, she celebrated her first birthday back in October. And my wife gets to babysit her every other week. And I'll try to do this without getting too caught up in the fact that she's my granddaughter too. But every other Tuesday, I get pictures of my granddaughter from my wife on my phone. And the thought hit me, Sue, you know how much you love that little girl? You know, God loves you more than you love that little girl. Wrap your head around that, grandparents. If you can, parents, wrap your head around the fact that God loves you more than you love your child. Is anybody going to mess with your child? Is anybody going to mess with your grandchildren? Not happening. You know, God loves you more than that. That's mind-blowing. For you students, someday you'll catch that, okay? Think of your puppy. I don't know. There's no way that you can explain the love of a parent, grandparent for a child. There's just no way until you've been there. But maybe the goldfish will do it too. I don't know. Okay, so let them know how much God loves them. And then we shine our light so that we can show them that God has a true purpose for their life. There's a true purpose. People are not only lonely, but there are people running around trying to figure out why in the world are we here. And some have even gone to the extent of saying, you know what? There's no purpose to life. We're here. We had no creator. We just kind of in the process of this is what happens in life. And you live, and hopefully you leave better than you, they leave everything better than you found it, and you're done. Is that hopeless? Man, if that was my world, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be out there eating and drinking and being merry, and you can't tell me I'm wrong because there's no right and wrong, right? There's no purpose. It's just have fun. But there is purpose in life, and true purpose is only found through Jesus Christ and God and His purpose in your life. And He has one. He has one for you, I guarantee you. So as we look at this and as we wrap this up, because I'm keeping it short today, right, students? I brought these along with me because we're talking about the light and we're talking about candles and the Advent wreath. And as I put these together, I realized, you know what? In the candle is simply a vehicle, right? Have you ever seen a candle spontaneously combust? Like, here's the candle. Watch this. Turn off the lights. Just watch. Fortunately, they didn't turn the lights on. Because this candle isn't going to spontaneously combust. And you know what? Our lives without Christ are like this candle. Okay? A candle is useless without a flame, right? The candle is just a vehicle. And the candle without a flame is useless. A couple other things that I didn't put in your notes, but I'll share with you as I was thinking through this, and this is just the way my mind worked, but have you ever heard a candle rebel? Like the lights go off, and I know for those who are under the age of 20, probably don't grab one of these when the lights go off anymore. What do you grab? Yeah, right? Come on, why would you go look for a camera? We'll go look for a candle. Come on, here we go. So much easier, too, I have to admit. The batteries usually charge, well, at least 20% charge. It'll last for a while, at least get you to the outlet so you can plug it back in. Yeah, but back in the day, we used to run and find the candle and light the candles, and it would give light to the room. But I never once, when Mom said, Jim, go get the candle, and I'd run to the, and then I'd have to find the lighter, but I never once lit the candle and says, oh my goodness, come on, you're burning me. You're burning me. Blow me out. Come on. Oh, you ruined me. Look what you did to me. Never once happened. Why? Well, candles don't talk, unless you're in Beauty and the Beast. But yeah, the candle was made to burn, right? That's what it was created for. Did you ever get upset with the way God uses you? Yeah, we're kind of like the candle in Beauty and the Beast. He did give us a voice. And sometimes I complain. It's like, God, what are you doing? Do you realize what this is doing to my life? No, candles shouldn't complain. Candles come in all shapes and sizes. In fact, these are just a few. I mean, I've seen candles that stand like this big. Look around the room. There's candles in all different shapes and sizes. You know, I like this one and this one especially, because I'm a student pastor and I like working with elementary age kids as well. Candles don't have to be this big to give off light, right? Sometimes we think, you know what, when I get to be this big, I'll be able to be used by God to show people what He's like, and then they'll be able to glorify Him. This candle, if we turned off the lights and we lit it, would light the room as well. It might not light, in fact, I dare say, it would probably light better than the one that's down in the hole, right? It doesn't take a big candle to light a room. It takes a flame on a candle. Even this little one, he's got a heart on it. I thought that was really sweet. Okay? What do you need? You just need a light. You need a light and let it burn. And then as I was thinking too, I said, I never once saw anybody light a birthday cake. And I don't have a birthday candle, said a birthday candle. Never seen anybody light a birthday cake and said, hey, would you go get the mixing bowl? I think we can just put that right over the cake so this doesn't look so bright. Did you ever do that? You ever go and cover up a birthday cake? Now you might blow it out, and that's a whole nother picture right there, right? Don't let Satan But you know who's blowing the candle out, right? I've been over to the Webb's house for birthdays. I've seen those little devils blow out candles. No. But yeah, okay, keep the fire burning. It doesn't matter how big you are. God created you with a purpose. Let that light shine. Let that light go into the world. Okay, let's talk about the flame. Let's talk about the flame. And I didn't bring a lighter up here because a lighter wouldn't quite work. But we all know what flame is, right? Do fires need candles to burn? Don't answer that one too quick. But think, is a candle the only place, a lamp the only place that a fire can burn? No, just go down the road here, you'll find a place where a fire burned, unfortunately, right? Yeah, you've seen fires alongside the road, you've seen fires in your fireplace. You see, the fire doesn't need a candle to burn any more than God really needs us. He's not dependent upon us. He chooses to use us, and in that sense of the word, he is dependent upon us because that's what he said he was going to use to spread his word. But he's really not dependent upon us any more than a fire is dependent upon this. Like if I took this out of the room and we took all the candles out of the church, we would never say, okay, that place is fireproof. Right? No. So looking at this, I say, you know what? Flames are able to burn without candles. And God is able to without us. But here's the good thing. He has chosen us. He has chosen you to be a light for him. And as I think about this, I think about the Christmas Eve service when we took the light and we took the light across the room. What makes the light more effective when we do it together, right? When the whole group is a light to the world. Another thing I was thinking about as I was putting this together, and I know it's getting long. He said it would be short. I had the opportunity to listen to a podcast recently. My wife is pretty good at podcasting, and I get to listen to them. And in this podcast, it happened to do with how we, our dietary needs and so on. And this lady was just talking about this system that she uses and advocates and so on. And she said, well, back when I first got started in this, I felt that it was important that I do a lot of research and do some study. And that way, when people came to me and talked about it, I would be able to speak intelligently on it. And I thought, you know what? That is so good. That is such a good truth there. Because so often, we talk about sharing our light with the world. And what's the number one reason we don't? Because I don't know enough. I don't know enough. I dare say, I mean, this lady's probably been doing this for 10 years, 20 years. Don't know. Maybe we'll give her 20 years. Okay? But that doesn't mean that she just sat on her hands and said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything until I get enough information. No, she was advocating this system of eating as soon as she saw it work, as soon as there was evidence. So look at our lives as believers, and what is preventing you from being a light to the world? Maybe it's we haven't done the research, right? I've been a Christian for a really, really, really long time. For some of you, it was back ages ago, before you were born. But What if I put as much effort into knowing what I believe as this lady did in her system of eating that she was advocating for? Is there anybody in the room that after 2 years of really doing some serious study on Christ and what it means to share your faith and how you do that, that after even a year you couldn't go, you know what, I'm just going to go out and do this? And I dare say it doesn't even take that long because once you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, right? It's not us that does all the work. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. But the challenge that I had was she put so much work into learning how to stand and defend this. She probably put more effort into that than most Christians do into how do I defend and speak for Christ in the gospel. So throw that one out there. And that's just kind of a hope that as we shine our light, that we'll be better candles, right? That's not a chastisement on anybody, maybe other than myself, to be a better candle. But take that and let that sink in. How can we be the best candle possible? So way at the top, and I don't think I have a slide for this one, so you can take a breather back there. At the very top of the fill in the blanks, the word that's missing on that single line is shine. And as I look at this, I would give the students a bottom line word and a saying for each of the candles. And this one here is shine. My challenge to you would be to shine. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, just shine. Let the world know. Put him on display. Because our mission is to shine as a light to this world by saying and doing things that show how great God is. And as we do that, they're going to see. And granted, not everybody is going to accept it. Not everybody's going to go, oh my goodness, how did I miss that? No, there's still going to be people that say, no, that's not for me. But there will be people that will go, wow, how did I not know this? And then they will glorify God as well. And that's not on us. That's really on God to pull that one off. So I had another sheet, and I see both of my sheets are exactly the same here. So I don't have my evaluation in my application. My evaluation, let me see if I can pull that up. That's a shame, because I had those two right there handy. My evaluation, let me put it this way. How well are you shining the love of God to the world around you? And the application is simple. I remember this one right off. My application is take and pick a light this week. Okay, I would challenge you to pick a light. Maybe it's a Christmas light that hasn't been taken down. If your tree's still hanging around, as long as that tree's there, look at the lights. And when you see those lights, let it be a reminder to you that you are a light to the world. And ask yourself, how well have I lit the world today? Maybe it's a night light or a light in the house. Maybe you have a unique light in your house. Let that be that light that reminds you, how well have I lit the world? Here's a good one for you. Maybe it's a car headlight, because car headlights shine in darkness, right? How well have you lit the world as you see these headlights? And let that be a reminder. You know what? We are a light to the world, and we need to let people see what God has done in our lives. Let us pray. God, I come before you, and I just pray that as we have discussed the idea of being a light to the world and how you challenge us to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you, that they might see our good works and glorify you, God, that you would be the one that the light would be cast onto and not on us. We just pray that you would continue to work in us, continue to build us up into the people that you would have us to be, that we might glorify you more faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.